he's got some good stuff planned here concerning the prophetic, because the prophetic, the prophecy is what the Lord's going to be doing in this earth.
That's right.
I think, I say, you know, I thought, Lord, I know something, I can't say it right now, what, 2018, I had expectations of special things. I can't say it exactly what it was, but I just feel that expectation. I said, Lord, I don't see it. I don't see it. It doesn't mean, you know, things that are prophesied may not be for right here. On the other side of the world, big time changes may have occurred. And they are, if you read, you look at the world news and so forth, and you watch a little Christian TV and say, the fastest growing church on earth without any churches is in Iran. But, Iran. You know, and it's, and the Chinese church is growing. Anyway, I know, I believe, you know, when you hear prophecies, you pray about them, correct? That seems to be the Lord's agenda. Pray that in, pray for it, happening, just like you pray for people. Pray for the Lord's agenda. Pray for that His will be done in areas that He wants to do things. And because we were talking about that last night, and it's like the Lord just sometimes, He's a sovereign God, He can do things.
Boom.
But He works through people. That's what He wants. That's what He does. He works through people. I'm sure He didn't need to have, you know, you think about the 12 apostles who changed the world. But Jesus, He, after His resurrection, could have stuck around a little while longer, right? And done it Himself, really. But that's not the God's way. Works through people. We are His hands and legs and arms and everything. So when we hear about something, you know, and it goes right with your spirit, pray about it. Pray it in. Pray for His agenda to go forth, especially in this country. and around the earth. But anyway, this will be good, and I'm not sure how she's got it all scheduled to come together, but if it's that one prophecy that we were talking about, it,
I'm doing three different ones.
Oh, okay.
For three Sundays.
You know, we heard one where the Lord is going to, was it holy oil coming down from heaven, which means it's the Lord's will, His agenda coming down. But in Toronto and, what is it, British Columbia?
Yes.
On the west coast of Canada, on the world middle, what's with these Canadians here, Lord? But anyway, I got it. He said, because of their, what was the word? Their steadfastness, or praying, these two sections, and that it would filter down.
Yeah.
Like rivers and tributaries through the United States.
Awesome.
And
message
away
yet.
Oh, well, I just want to say one thing about Toronto. I said, hey, Toronto, Lord, Toronto. Then I forgot about the Toronto blessing. Have you heard of that? You should have heard of that. It's been going on for something like Brownsville. In Pensacola, like that, something like that in Toronto for, what, 15, 20 years?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, things of just stunning things. And so I thought, hey, that's why Toronto, in my opinion, you know, because people there are praying, and things happen where people are pray. Mm-hmm. Things happen. It's like, Lord can't ignore that area. He visits that area and does things. But anyway, I think, I don't know about British Columbia out there in the west, what's happening out there, but the Lord certainly does, so we can trust that. So, 2020.
57
alien. I can remember way back when. We were 1984. There was a book written about 1984 or something like that. The world that we'd have flying cars and Big Brother take over the earth and all this stuff. And now 1984? Oh, that's way back there, ain't it? Look at us now in 2020.
25 years.
Look at Chris. But anyway, time keeps rolling on, and one of these days, time will stop. You don't know when, but it will. Time as we know it. Things will happen on this earth. We'll have a new heaven, new earth, and it'll be awesome. It'll be awesome. But Heavenly Father, we just thank you for a new year coming up, and we are thankful for the mighty and awesome things you are going to do in this upcoming year. Father, we just pray that we are in tune with your will and that you speak to us. Have us do your will. Because we are willing. We are ready, Lord. Sometimes we get busy with this and that and with our lives, and maybe we forget what is most important, and that's your agenda, Lord God, on this earth, in our families, in our little towns here, and in this church, Lord. Help us. Help us to hear your Holy Spirit. Help us be in tune with you, Lord, this coming year in a way that we have never been before, Lord, because things are going to be happening, and I'm thankful for them. Some things will be rough, some things will be awesome in the Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for this service. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Direct and guide this service today, Holy Spirit, and we thank you in the mighty and holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You know, as 2020 begins, we are entering an era of innovation. And it's not just a time of new voices, that's what a lot of people say, but it's a time of restructuring. Like, what does the Lord want you to change in 2020? What does he want you to revamp? There has to be rethinking. There has to come strategies from him. And the one thing that I put down here was, you have to be willing to pioneer new things. I don't know about you, I'm getting old. I like the old stuff. I kind of like the old school stuff and, you know, simple things like that. But truthfully, we have to be willing to change. And we got to be willing to step out there as the Lord leads us to try new things. And truthfully, it's easy to say that, but hard to do. And one of the things that I have found is that when I want to do certain things and leave it with the Lord, I just go right back and I just pick them right back up. Oh, see, no. And I'll just pick it up and reuse it or retry it and put it a different way or whatever. But the Lord wants us to leave it with him. And the more that we can leave it with him, the better we're going to be. And the more we're going to grow. And I put down here as well, I kind of want to give you the scripture that the Lord gave to me. A couple of them. But it's out of Proverbs 3:13. Here, I'm just going to set your glasses right here. Okay. And I really kind of want to go up a little bit, too. That's Proverbs 3, verse 13. But let's just start verse 9. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. So the more we trust the Lord, the more we obey what he wants us to do, the longer life we're going to have. And you know what? Truthfully, everything's not a spirit or a demon that causes, you know, got us to do certain things. Sometimes it was just us. So we can always find an answer in the Word. We can always find the Lord guiding us and directing us in what we're supposed to be doing. Verse 3. Let not mercy and trust forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Now, I love that at Christmas time we talked about how Mary pondered things in her heart. For 3 months, I kind of pondered these different prophecies that the Lord, you know, wanted me to do. And, well, the attack still came no matter how we were prayed up. Because I really don't think that the spirits that are not of God want you to hear the truth. And the Word is living in its truth. And it will never change. You and I can be up and down with emotions. You know, I can get all worked up. And it's kind of like I told Satan. I said, you know, you're not going to get to me that way. I'm going to trust the Lord and what he wants me to do. Do you understand what I mean by that? I mean, you know, hey, we can dwell on things. We can dwell on all kinds of pain that we have. I don't do that anymore. I don't let that eat me all up.
That's right.
I give it to the Lord and I just go on. And it sounds easy, but I have to make that effort. I've got to do that. Verse 4. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Hey, you guys, I love that. Trust in him. I'm telling you, in 2019, do you remember? I remember the exact Sunday. I told you we had to keep our eyes on the Lord. We had to trust him for everything we did. Everything at home. Things in our car. It just was one thing after another. But we had to trust that God would provide the money. God would provide the job. God will take care of us. We belong to him. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we can trust in him. And we have favor with him. And when I was young in the Lord, I didn't know what that meant to have favor. But we have his blood inside of us. And when we have that favor, it's like some people can really be suffering. We can pray through it and we're going to find an answer. They don't even know how to do that. You know, you get all worked up and you worry and you don't sleep at night. Truthfully, the peace of the Lord will give you perfect sleep.
Amen.
It really does. And, you know, I always heard or even flipped on TV, like, once you started getting older, it's like, hey, you don't sleep. You get up 100 times, you know, you got to go to the restroom. Kind of like that, you know, just all this negative. And I thought, you know, either I can accept it or I can say I ain't doing it.
Yeah, wait till it's all done.
And sometimes, you know, it's hard, but you have to walk it out. Like, hey, you know, Lord, I'm going to trust that when I lay my head down on that pillow, I'm going to have sweet sleep. And it used to really bug Joe because I could sleep in a chair. When I was tired, I would just sleep. He'd go, how can you sleep like that? You don't have to worry about that. And, you know, I mean, hey, if we really get honest and we take off our masks, we all go through that. And then when I talked with my daughter, she says, you know, Mama, she says, I think I'm like Dad. And I went, how about what? And she says, there's our sound. And she says, well, you know, Mom, she says, I hear everything just like Dad. Like Dad hears everything. Dad hears this. He can hear the noise. He can hear, you know, the decorative piece that I had out on the door when the wind blew it, scratched it, stuff like that. Do you know what I'm saying? And I just looked at her and I said, you don't have to listen to all that. You know, you have to trust that when all this craziness is all around you, when all happiness and demons of hell are all around you, and you just, you can have perfect peace.
That's right.
Perfect peace in the storm. You can speak it forth. Okay, storm, I've had enough. You ain't doing that to me. I'm going to sleep. And I always remind myself of that, especially like Jesus when he was in the boat. I mean, hey, you guys, it wasn't just like a little bit of wind and they were going up. It was violent and the water was coming in and stuff like that. And I said to the Lord, how did you sleep in that? I mean, that's like, wah. And I'm really telling you, that's really trusting in Him that He can calm that storm that is all around you. Perfect peace. The next thing it says here is verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. That's one of my favorites. I have it starred in my Bible.
Yep, that's the only one.
It says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. He's a jealous God. He is a God that we're to worship, respect, I don't know how else to put it, but He doesn't want the other gods before Him. And, you know, when I went to college and everything, there was so much that got poured into me. And I thought, man, that doesn't make any sense. I never, you know, learned that when I was a kid growing up. You know, He wants you to worship Him and Him alone. He wants you to acknowledge that He is all-powerful, that He is all-knowing. And the next thing here is, do not be wise unto your own eyes. Wow, is that not powerful? What you see with your eyes, they can fool you. I'm really serious. I thought, my gosh, what is that I'm seeing? I don't know about you, but you know, I'm a real visual person. I'm a visual learner. I like things on the screen. I got things all typed up, you know. I'm just a real visual learner. But some people are not. And sometimes we have to put our eyes on Him and trust Him, because these eyes will fool you. And our emotions, that's what I'm trying to say, if I'm not making sense. We have to take control of our emotions. Because I don't know about you, someone ticks you off, it's like you're going to clean their clock. Oh, you're really angry at a sister, angry at a brother, angry at whoever. You know, there's a part of us that gets really upset. People say, oh, just call it holy anger. What? Anger destroys people. You know, when I see things that are going on, I see people react out of their emotions. The Lord wants us to give our emotions to Him. I think that's so powerful when He says that He will direct our paths. And don't let our eyes fool us. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When you see evil going on, you need to be strong enough to say, oh, I need to depart from that now. I'm going to go the opposite way. I don't want nothing to do with that. I don't want to be in your chaos. I don't want to be around things that are going on. I'm really serious. We went to a magnificent concert. And when we walked in the building, that's all you could do was smell smoke. I just about choked again. Now, I know that sounds like a real critical spirit, but I'm not a smoker. And so I'd walk in there and went, oh, God, you know, you could really smell the cigarettes. And I said, you know, Lord, help me get past that.
Okay.
For what you have for me tonight. And what I'm trying to say is, truthfully, I just want to go right back out the door. Because I don't like it. I don't like to be in that environment. Some people smoke. I know there's people in the service right now that smoke. But for me, I don't like it. So when people do that, I just go somewhere else. You know, I just move into another room. Because it kind of bothers me. And I don't think I should have to smell that. And so, anyways, I'm just trying to kind of explain a few things what the Lord is showing. And this is from the Word. This isn't Marie's opinion. And it says, it will be health to your flesh when you depart from evil. And you know what? If all of us would take off our masks and we would look at ourselves, we would realize one thing. And that one thing is, we all have to die to ourselves. And I said that when we were at that international thing. I said, the Lord says we all have to die to ourselves. And, you know, I'm just kind of repeating what the Lord said, and I don't add to it or take away from it. I just say it. And all of a sudden, the whole discussion that night talked about dying of yourself.
Are you serious?
And how it sounds really easy, but how hard it is. But what it says here is that if we die to evil, we die to the things that aren't right, we'll have health. Oh, let's see. I'm a diabetic because the devil put it on me. I don't think so. I love to eat. So if I kept on eating and kept on eating and didn't do anything, it would affect my health. So if we put it in perspective with what the Lord is trying to teach us, the evil can make us ill. Or if we are constantly complaining about being sick and ill and it's all psychosomatic, hey, you know what, you gotta believe it yourself. You do, you get to a point you believe it yourself. And what the Lord is saying is, it does harm to your health.
F5, F6,
and let's see what else it says. There will be strength to your bones.
I think that's my brightness.
You know, learned that for a good month about bones and muscles and kind of all that stuff. Like you get a little older, so you got an ache on the left, you got an ache on the right, you don't. You do harm to it, and they go, oh, you know, you just hurt that muscle. I didn't even know I had that muscle. Do you know what I mean? I'm just trying to be honest with you on what the Word says. The Word says in verse 8, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So we might not think that sin affects our bones, but it does. And so the Lord wants us to be strengthened that way, especially for 2020. And of course, verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions. Oh, I want to tell you something. Wait until you get stripped and you have nothing. Then either you complain about it, or you find out some of those things you ain't gonna take with you anyways. And what I've learned is, give to other people more than maybe what they gave to you. For example, I know Judy probably doesn't want me to point her out, but when she made those tins of cookies, that was such a big deal to the kids.
I would think it would be.
And they decorated those cookies. Now, if I did the cookies, they'd been burned. If I did the cookies, the smoke alarm goes off.
Yes.
So it was so exciting, and they just decorated, and you know, there was just joyous laughter that went on. But you did it from your heart.
Okay, I've got it.
And when we do things from our heart, the Lord blesses someone else.
Internet.
So He wants to encourage us with that for 2020.
Good luck.
And the one part in verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. That means when you get a job, or if you have a job, you need to tithe. 10% goes to Him. Well, I got to buy gas, I got to do this, I got to do that. I'm going to tell you right now, if you tithe, there. You make that offering unto the Lord, I want you to know He'll take care of your rent.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He'll take care of things, but that money is His. And that's like stealing. And when Joe and I first came up here, I don't know, on a permanent basis, I think it's been 10 years.
It seems like
we've come up here a long time, but I think 10 years permanently.
I think so.
We were helping out another pastor at a church, and someone took up the offering. And I came in to help afterwards, and there was like pennies and nickels and dimes still in the offering basket. And I said to this particular pastor, I says, why was that counted as the offering? Wasn't it the offering taker?
Well,
yeah, but some pennies and nickels and dimes. I said, that ain't your money. He goes, what do you mean? I said, someone gave that. That was their first fruits. That penny could have been the last penny someone had in their home. We don't think of a penny as a lot of money, but to some people it is. If you don't tithe, well, it says, not Marie, this isn't Marie's opinion. It says, with the first fruits of all your increase. The first goes to Him. If we lived in the Old Testament times and Bible times, and we gave kind of like, we all ate duck, but I'll give him the last duck because, hey, you know, it's a leftover one. We might not be blessed for the whole year.
Yeah.
That was the law. You had to give unblemished your first fruits. So in 2020, I want to tell you that when you get your first paycheck, whenever you get it, it should be 10% that you should give. It's important to do that. And it's important to press of your first fruit.
Your gross income, not your net income.
Yes, of your gross.
This one right here.
I love teaching on that. And there was a gal that challenged me. She goes, "Man, well, you know, when you're not under the law anymore," I says, "I'm not talking about the law."
But that's where you get that.
And you're going to get it back from him. God really, truly doesn't need your money. He really doesn't. He's just trying to teach you obedience. So I want to encourage you that with 2020, try it. This one gal that I talked with, I didn't even know it made a big deal to her. But an impact on her. She came later. And she told me she tried that. She tried that stuff.
What stuff are you talking about?
Well, you know what you talked about up there. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. She tried that, to give her first fruits. And she was so amazed how the Lord rewarded her. And it's not just to get rewarded. You know what I'm saying? But it really taught her something. It was where she was at. It was her beginning stages. So, some people have said, "Well, I don't have to do that because I give to other things. Or I give offerings or I give things to other people." That's not what God's talking about. He's talking about your tithe, your first fruits. Offering is what you do beyond. There's nobody in this church. I mean, Karen sings up here with me every Sunday. My husband's up here and Vic's back there in the sound thing trying to figure out what's ever going on up here. And are you just kind of bearing with me for a minute? When you don't take money for anything, but you come unto service unto the Lord because you want to, the Lord rewards you for that. I believe we're still here. Even being small, we're still here. Because we try to do the best that we can do and we give first fruits to the Lord. And you know what? I would never ever want to stand before the Lord and say, "Man, that penny that I've been putting in the offering thing, I wouldn't want to be counted for that money." Do you understand what I mean by that? That person started putting all the pennies, all the nickels. I said, "You know, you can be accountable for that. You're a bookkeeper. You're a bookkeeper in the house of the Lord. There's an accountability."
That's what came up to what she picked.
Powerful. Verse 10, "So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." For 2020 through 2025, the Holy Spirit has been talking about new wine. Verse 11, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects."
This new era.
"Just as the Father, the Son, to whom he delights." Here's my verse for today. Thank you, Lord. "Happy is the man who finds wisdom." Wow, what a gift to find wisdom. "And then to gain understanding from that wisdom." I know about you, that's powerful. To know that is one of the new things that the Lord wants to do for us. So if you get wisdom, and you get if you get wisdom from the Lord, and you know what to do with the Lord, what the Lord gives to you, wow, that's really powerful. And I feel that the Lord wants to give that in 2020. I also wrote down here that the Lord said that those who refuse to innovate will become increasingly irrelevant. The Lord doesn't need you. You don't need to sit in here and do nothing. He wants to give you certain things and for you to go out and do something to be important for the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. You might not even be a people person. I'm a people person. I love people. But I truthfully feel that there are people who are not. And the Lord is saying, you know, if you could just talk to one person, it might encourage them. So you don't have to be in a big, huge, large crowd of people. But you could talk to someone. You can encourage someone. You can do the tin of cookies for someone. Mm-hmm. It helps people. Do you know what I'm saying? It encourages people.
I was looking at the dancing.
I thought what the Lord also showed me was that there would be new ministries. We started our youth thing back up. You know, I didn't think we were in a couple years, but we had quite a few kids here, and I want to see it get bigger. But my big thing was, I was just giving our youth to other youth ministries because I felt, hey, they had tons of kids, and they were doing this, and they were doing that, and the Holy Spirit woke me up and said, who told you to do it?
See, I think this one is.
How would you do that? And so when we started, I think we had a pretty good time. We're going to start it back up in spring and even be stronger. And I'm telling you, it's like these younger people have to know, have to be mentored. They have to know about the Word. They have to be shown. They have to be taught. And people's opinions are not really important. It's for them to have that foundation of the Word. And I don't know, we kind of talked that over with our daughter and stuff like that. You know, she's in her late 30s, and she was, you know, Mom, she said, we had the cartoon channel or something that came on, and she was given little Emmy a bath, and she's two, and so she could see the cartoons, and all of a sudden these bats were flying out, and this character on the cartoon things was supposed to be like a vampire, and it was talking about how the bats would fly out, you know, and touch other people, and I thought, oh my gosh, and it's all animated. And my daughter says, Mom, what you got on? And I said, what are you talking about? She goes, oh, just turn it off, Mom, just look at it. And I was stunned. And what I'm trying to say to you is our kids, they don't know what's real and not real, and what's of the Word and not of the Word. And I feel like we have a responsibility to teach them what's right and what's wrong. And you know, Halloween, I spent a lot of time talking about the evilness that was out there. Even the new, I don't know if we get it. I don't know if it's because we just got grandkids that are so young. But you know, hey, these kids are on laptops, keypads, this and that, and they can flip to that. And you go, what are you watching? You know, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like we have to teach them right from wrong, and there's so much out, just like what flipped with this cartoon thing. And, I mean, I'm thankful that our kids have some foundation, but there's kids out there that have none. They don't see nothing wrong with it. You get angry with someone, you just shoot them. So, you know, we have a big responsibility here in 2020. I also wrote down here from the Holy Spirit that kingdom concepts are really important. Some people don't believe in the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about salvation. It's all about telling people about the Lord. And it's so simple. It says, call upon his name. That's it. Call upon his name. We can make it simple. We don't have to make it so complicated that but you ought to accept the Lord. It's about salvation. For 2020, all the way to 25, it is supposed to be about salvation. Your family, if you start praying, is going to come to the Lord and be saved. I don't know about you, that's powerful to me. People that you did in your family that you thought, hey, you know, they're never going to make it. You know, they're an alcoholic or whatever, and they use the Lord's name in vain. What's been prophesied is that they're going to come to the Lord. They're going to have a choice. I think it's powerful in something that we should celebrate. I wrote down, so if you didn't get all of Proverbs 3:13, is that when you're blessed, you're fortunate. You can be admired. He can be admired. And you can find godly wisdom. I don't know about you. I think it's powerful right there. That's done. So these are three key concepts the Lord placed in my heart, and then hopefully we can get in the video, is create. The Father is exciting people to create in him. There was an older pastor, I think he was in his 80s, he was older to me, and he said, we read Psalms and we read Proverbs, But some of you, it was a huge, huge church. And he said, what would you do if the kids got up and rapped a proverb and the whole place went hushed? What would you do if the younger kids got up and they blowed the shofars, and that was part of the whole service, and they just prayed? Place went hushed. He said, the Lord is taking young people and bringing them into the church, not to be kicked out, but to realize that they're doing new, innovative ways to bring more people into the kingdom. There was a young man, I won't say his name, and I did a big concert at Benzie Central, the high school, and I had this one man, we had prayed about it, and the Lord said to have this one man get up and do what the Lord had given him, the talent, and he was a rapper. He was so awesome that this whole side over here got up and the kids were doing their things and dancing and moving, and then the old people that were over here never moved from the chair. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just took over the place and everybody was up, young and old. It was so powerful, and I have believed that from one day, since we've been up here, that it's going to take the young and old coming together, because the older people have the wisdom and the younger people have the energy I wish half of us had. But it was so powerful. This one lady came up to me and, oh my goodness, she says, you know what? I don't know about that rapping business, but he sure was cute. And I thought, and I says, well, did you get the message out of it? And she goes, yeah, I did. I said, good. But the whole point was, it was God. It was really God. And this young man, when the Lord allowed me to use him, I'm not for sure, he was maybe 17, 18. And he had such a change in his life after accepting the Lord that he brought a lot of these kids from Benzie County to the Lord. You have no idea what's up here. And he is now a pastor of a church, and he is married. He's on fire for the Lord, and just doing great. And you see, you never know who the Lord is going to use or how he's going to use them. And so what I have heard over and over again from different prophets is, we've got to watch our mouth.
That's right.
It's the year of the mouth. It's the year that we can either help people grow or we can destroy them. I don't know about you. I can be really, really nice about me. You know, I really don't like that person. You know, that person, blah, 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 blah. You don't need to be a part of the gossip team. You need to be the light in the one chain. So the Lord said that he was doing things even online gatherings. He was doing e-churches. There's one e-church. I've been asked to do that so much, and I put it off forever since we've been here. But there's one e-church in Traverse City. It's online all the time. New thing. There's intellectual properties out there. There are books. There are movements. There are meetings. There's endeavors that are being, and the Lord wants them birthed. And I wrote down here, I don't know if I gave everybody a copy of that, maybe not. So he wants things to be created totally different, a totally different vision, totally different perspective. And he said, and Joe and I had a box, and it's in the office, and the Lord told us to always be a church that thought outside the box. And I think the Holy Spirit told Joe, and I said, what does that mean? It's like when you put everything, this is the way it is, this is the way you're going to flow. Oh, hey, the sound system didn't work. I mean, we could all just do a little prayer and go home. You know, you have to think outside the box. What else could we do? He wants us to think outside that box. And one of the things that I went is, you might not like it, but revivals happen in some of the awfulest areas. And we've done, I don't know, 3 tent revivals. I always said, Lord, please give us the money so we can do more. But truthfully, there are people that will never enter a church. And we need to bring that out to them. We need to evangelize them. We need to go and knock on doors and invite them to come. I mean, hey, we had witches and warlocks that lived on here on Holy Road, and they're gone.
Hallelujah.
It's what you pray through. It's what you, the warfare strategies that the Lord gives to you. We should be praying constantly for Benzie County, a change in Benzie County.
Yes.
Hey, it's beautiful. And there are people who have lived here forever. But you know, for how many churches are in Benzie County, there's not that many people saved.
Nope.
So what's wrong?
They don't have a light.
He is saying just don't follow the same pace, but you create new trends, new waves, new moves. You got to move. I went to one church when I was doing that revival, and I needed money, and I had to go before their board, and they were a very wealthy church up here, and they said, well, we'll give you $100. I said, well, how many things do you give $100 to? Well, that's usually our limit is $100. Well, you know, the Lord just lets us give $100 away. And I said, well, why don't you keep your $100? And why don't you have some of your people come and usher at the concert or pray with one kid that's going to hell, pray for them. I'd rather have that. If you had the, and the comment I had received was, we have no young people here at this church. I wonder why. I mean, come on, let's get real here. Who wants to go? What do you got for them? What are you offering to them? Are we encouraging them with the Word of God? It was so powerful. I could not believe 30 of those people came from that church and helped out. They ushered at the door, they tapped the kids, you know, kind of stuff like that. And it was powerful. That was more valuable to me than giving me $100 because I couldn't get to half of the kids. We packed the auditorium. Are you hearing me? He wants us to move. He wants us to do something. And the one thing he says is the problem is most of us have fear. I can't do it. I don't know what to say. Neither. But he can give us the words of what to say. So he says, don't let fear bind you, but move out in what? My wisdom. Move out in the abilities I've given you. Hey, Chris and Vic's back there, and Chris knows a lot about computers and stuff like that. I'd go there and I'd say, well, don't you think we can pull it out? Chris goes, but they don't fit. So I just go and I get this big old Ziploc thing here with all of these things, and they look at them and I'm like, well, that one's too small, that one don't fit, and you know, everybody's got their own skills. That's what I'm trying to say to you. You don't have to pretend you're somebody else. Just be you.
That's right.
Just be you. I remember when I was going through a really, really hard time, this older lady, she just sat next to me. She didn't say one darn thing to me. Never saw me. She just touched me. Touched me like that. Just touched me. Now, the Lord gives us something to say to someone else. We would just get beyond us and move with his wisdom. I don't want to miss. And that scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give us the spirit of fear. We're not to have that fear. We're supposed to have his power, his love, and a sound mind. I don't know about you, I pray about his mind every day. Yeah. I thought, what did I just go in that room for?
Yeah.
Where am I going? that the Lord said is to collaborate. That was the thing. Oh my gosh. Joe and I came from such a big church. We had powerful elders. Excuse me. We had people that prayed. We had people that still pray while service is going on. Just so powerful. But everybody thinks when we moved up here that their program is more important than someone else's program. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was just me. Can you imagine if we could get past this and we could get to the point that that youth group and that youth group and that youth group could all come together, not two of them because they're the biggest youth group, but we could all come together for what point? Jesus. Not, hey, I can play, I can sing. I sang with the best of them, played with the best of them. So what? It's when you come together to glorify God, what he can do. Get off of our own programs. The other thing I put down here is, I love teamwork. I say that from this church. We have a team. And a lot of churches don't have that team. When we first started here, we had nothing, you know, no congregation, nothing. And I just couldn't believe the little bitty backbiting poof that went like this that went on. I said, you know what? I ain't putting up with this. When you could have people that wanted to sing for the Lord and they never got along as husband and wife, what you doing leading the people? I'm sorry. If your lifestyle isn't in accordance with what God wants, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You got to make him your home, part of your home. He's got to be part of this church. He's got to be everything. He's got, I don't know how to explain it very well, and I'm sorry for that. But it's like he has got to be number one. Or when you go to do something or you move out and what he wants you to do and you literally blow it, you need just to get on your knees, repent, and say, Lord, help me with that. Help me to change. And we really, truthfully love really does conquer people. Love is a real thing. I think in all the years I taught school, all the years of working with kids, all the years of working with adults, I can truthfully tell you that's what everybody wants, is to be loved. And not fake. Mm-hmm. To be real. So that when you blow it, someone comes along and lifts you up, or prays with you, or cares. I don't know how else to say it. God is connecting people for kingdom movements. I never thought I would speak two times at the Women International thing. Karen and I, we were sent to Saginaw. Oh my gosh, I just went to get filled up, and the Holy Spirit used us for like 4 hours ministering to people. Are you kidding me? It's when you forget you. And you go, when you go, you say, Lord, what could I do? What do you want me to do? How can I be used for you? And then I come out and I have my flat tires on my car. But the Lord sent a crew of guys who I didn't even know were experts in tire people to fix my car. Powerful people. God will take care of you when you take care of his kingdom.
That is so true, even. That is so true. And you got to imagine he had his home.
Oh, and he got his home on a donut, yeah. And still hugging these guys that didn't even know, and then their wives came and hugged them. It was just like we had this old little party thing. But God took care of us because we took care of what he wanted done in there. And you know what? It wasn't just full gospel, Pentecostal, apostles, people speaking. These people were from every faith. I can't even explain. We had Catholics. We had Presbyterians. We had Baptists.
We had Lutherans.
We had every denomination.
That's right.
Now, that isn't God. And here comes Marie, spirit-filled, sitting next to a Baptist gal. That's God.
And the Church of the Nazarene.
Oh, yeah. And the third thing is to distribute. So the first one that the Lord gave, the first one was to create for 2020. The second one was to move and to collaborate with other people. And the third thing was to distribute. And I thought, well, that's a weird word. I don't even really know what that word means, distribute. And this is what the Lord showed me, is that when people gather together, we're stronger. When people spend time, you know, hey, I don't do these meals out here just to say, hey, let's feed everybody. It's when we gather and we talk and we have a church family time, that's rich. And we even had a gentleman that came here and he goes, you do this on Sundays? And I went, yeah, everybody brings a little of this, a little of that, a little of that. True good. It's God. The other thing that the Lord told me is that some of you need to get off this big kick about digital media. And I said, Lord, what are you saying? And most of you are critical of the internet. I'm not saying there's a bad on the internet because you don't know how to do it. So when you get condemning about kids doing certain things on the internet, it's because you don't know how to do it yourself. So you just see the bad things in it. And whether you like it or not, when we podcast these messages, they go all over the world. We've had different countries, excuse me, that have written to us, talked with us, emailed us, whatever. It's nothing to do with Marie. Has to do with the Lord. Media is important. It is a tool God has given to us. My thing is I would like to see with our youth kids where they have their own newspaper, their own thing that the Lord has given to them or what's going on, their own pictures, and they can send that on the web faster than you and I can write a letter. I mean, I did letters to the schools, but have we really gone and ministered to the kids? Have you really gone? Have you gone? Well, I got this, I got that, and like, yep, me too. It's like when we make a commitment, we have to do it. Whether it's one day, or 2 days, or whatever. And I wrote professional letters. That's my forte. I'm a really good writer. Sent them to all the schools. They freaked out. We've never had anybody have a letter like this. Flyers. I'm telling you people that this is not for me. This is what I have received from the Lord. That we have to take control. There are certain things that we have to, how do you say it? Like stay on top of and stuff like that. In fact, I'm trying to get Joe to use Facebook because I do Facebook pictures from our Christmas party. They're already out there. I want people, every day I tweet a message from the Word of God. So if you take 365 days or whatever, there's been 365 tweets. Multiply it by 8, and that's how many tweets out there the word has gone out. When you look at it that way, it's kind of like, wow. I never answer back tweets, But I always put a scriptural reference. I always ask the Lord, what should be put out there? It's on there all the time. So what the Lord is showing me is there's kind of like for 2020 a platform switch. Maybe us singing up here. I remember there was one year we went to Thompsonville. And I don't know if you went to Thompsonville. Vicki went with me my first year here at Thompsonville. I went through it, right through the town, and I said, where's Thompsonville? She said, you just went through it. I said, what? She said, this is Thompsonville. Well, where's the post office?
Right there.
I says, that looks like a closet. I'm serious. We ended up doing, like giving free hot dogs away and playing music and like that. You know, we need to get out there more.
Right.
I don't know how else to kind of put it. But I believe there's a new platform. I'd really like to see the Lord bless us with one more time for revival.
Yes.
I really do. And offer it to everybody to come, young and old. I think what the Lord also showed me is that my daughter is a fabulous marketing director. Fabulous. She don't think she is. She is. And I always say to her, you know, if we put your brain and my brain together, what we could do, and then if we could top it with your dad's intellectual brain, I said, you know, we could probably run about 5 companies. She goes, are you joking, Mother? Well, yeah. But what I'm trying to say is there is something in all of us that we can do something with it. And Joe, my precious husband, he always says, well, it just takes money. True. It just takes money. But even just listening to, what is that Christian thing on Daystar? What is his name? The guy who's ahead of Daystar, help me with his name.
Marcus Lamb.
Marcus Lamb talked about how they had this small little place and there was only like 6 or 7 people that showed up, and that was really tiny. And how he wanted to be, well, you know, Daystar. And he talked about his humble beginnings. And one of the gals, when we dedicated this church to the Lord, she said, Marie, don't you ever despise humble beginnings. And I said, well, I just expected it to be like this. Huge. Then I listened to all these ministers and how they started out and what they had. And then they got with certain people and it grew. And are you with me on this? And so I had to learn to wait upon the Lord with what he wants to do here at Hilltop. We don't have to be a Blaine. We don't have to be Sun Life, which is no longer there. We do not have to be Fresh Wind. We do not have to be different. We just have to be Hilltop. We just have to do what the Lord wants us to do. And I thought that was so powerful when the Holy Spirit gave that to me again. We just have to be us and do what he wants us to do. Are you here with me this morning? So he put down new platforms for distribution are a key. And the Father is opening doors for people. And we're supposed to take those things and do something with them. He's opening doors for new leadership. I was so excited when Vicki came up here and preached one, and Joe and I could go downstate with what we had to do. And I feel that in 2020, we're going to see more voices of the old and new come together. Powerful. So I wrote down that 2020 is a season to change it up. Change it up. Find the place God has for you and go with it. What does he want you to be doing? And I wrote down here that it's a time to create, to collaborate, and to distribute and let it go. It's the Lord's work. You just have to do your part as his vessel. And I think that that is powerful.
It is.
Message. And that was just part of it.
He gave me the psalm just a minute ago, Psalms 146. I was going to read another psalm. Psalm 146, happiness of those whose hope is in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man in whom there is no hope. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth, and on that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in it, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, and gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind, and the Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous, and he watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow, and in the way of the wicked, he turns them upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. The song of the Lord who preserves and prospers his people. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer. My shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man, that you are mindful of him. Man is like a breath. His days are like the passing shadow. Bow down, you heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Flash forth your lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hands above them. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, and from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing and praise you. The one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hands of the foreigners, whose mouth speak lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, yeah. And that our daughters may be as pillars, sculptured in a palace style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, and that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields, and that our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there will be no outcry in our streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Amen.